Hi, I'm Brother Hammett. It's a joy to have you in worship today. If you're worshiping at home, I invite you to prepare yourself and your surroundings. Get comfortable, maybe light a candle or two. We usually celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month, and you're always welcome to join us for that. Just have a little bread and grape juice or wine for everyone. Please let us know that you're here by scanning the QR code with the camera on your phone or smart device, or simply post a comment in the chat. I pray God blesses you through this service. We'll begin in just a moment.
Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. What a joy it is to be in worship with you today. Thank you for being here. If you're here, thank you for joining us online. We pray that today's service is a blessing to you. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here. My colleague is Reverend Hammett Evans. He is back from his vacation, and he will be preaching this morning. We are looking at the passage in where Jesus appears first to the disciples, and Jesus has an amazing interaction with the disciple Thomas. And Hammett has named that sermon Faithful Thomas, and so I'm looking forward to that message. I hope you are too. I do want to remind you, when you have an opportunity to log your attendance, you can do that by filling out the Connect tab here in the sanctuary or scanning the QR code on the back of the bulletin. If you're watching online, your only option is to scan the QR code, and we encourage you to do that. It'll allow you to share prayer concerns, to find out about events and other things going on at Asbury as well. And then the last thing and most important is we've got our baptismal font out today. Later on in the service, we will together celebrate the baptism of Lennox Byers. And so we thank you for being here with us on this special day. And last, of course, let's make sure you are still in game shape. Christ is risen. Amen and hallelujah. Please take a moment and pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Asbury. I'm so glad that you're here. As we greet one another in person, you're welcome to greet each other in the chat if you like. You may also use this time to sign in or download the sanctuary bulletin by scanning the QR codes or by using the link below. May the peace of Christ be with you as we worship together.
Please stand as you are able for our call to worship. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Do not worry or fear, for Christ is alive. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise this morning, Spirit of Faith Come Down, number 332 in your hymnal. Please remain standing and let us say together the invocation, which is printed in your bulletin. God of mercy and grace, you understand us completely. Yet there are times when we do not understand this life of faith. We do not understand how Jesus rose from the dead. We do not understand how the resurrected Christ comes to us today. Moments of doubt and disbelief sap our strength. Forgive and restore us. Help us trust you and your love for us. And help us trust the ways of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we gather this morning on this third Sunday of Easter to see that the tomb is still empty, to see that the resurrected Christ and the peace and joy of all of his glory rests in our hearts. So God, we gather this morning as your beloved children in this beautiful place to praise and glorify your name. To give you thanks for all the ways in which you bless our lives, those blessings that we see and the blessings we don't. We thank you for all the ways you use us to be a blessing to others. God, we know that in our trials and our sorrows and our pain and our hurt, we know that you steadfastly walk alongside us as the great comforter for us all. And so God, this morning we ask that when times are hard, that we lean into you, that we trust you and trust your will in our lives. God, this morning we gather to hear a message about strong faith in times of doubt. And we know, God, that in our hearts that we all have those same moments all throughout the day. But God, we know that the one constant in our life is your love for us. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for being with us even when we don't feel you near. And God, we ask today that you help us to see your love more clearly. God, we pray this morning for all of those who are lost and who are hurting. We pray for all of those, God, who have turned from you. May they be brought back by your grace into your loving arms. We pray for all of those in the Asbury community who are going through different situations and trials. We pray specifically for Clifford Smith and Val Carr. We pray for Gene Hammett, Mark Schimmer,
Pray for David Mackey, Edith Roberts, Hugh Roberts, Gail Pulley, Arlen Thomas, Deborah Gangliff, Bob and Janie Clements. Pray for the family and friends of Bart Hamby. Pray for Marlene Idaker, for Linda Staten. Pray for Noah Logan. Pray for the family of Laura Burrows. Pray for Kathy Robbins and her family on the death of her father. We pray for Patty Langley and her family on the death of her husband. We pray for all of those, God, whose names sit at the tops of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We know that you're at work in all of their lives in a mighty and powerful way, and so we give you thanks for all the ways in which you do so. And God, lastly, we gather, as we always do every Sunday morning, to give you thanks and praise for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for all that he has done, is doing, and will do in our lives. We thank you for all that he has taught us and is teaching us today. And we thank you for knowing how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer. We'll now say that together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I'd like to dismiss the children that will be going to Kids Club to go ahead and do so at this time. We don't have a children's message today because of the baptism, but if you have any little ones that are heading out, they're welcome to do that as we prepare for our offering. This time, I'd like to invite our ushers forward and just remind you that as you give to the missions and ministries of Asbury, there's multiple ways to do that. We have a QR code on the back of the bulletin on the screen that opens up all the ways to give electronically. This morning, we are thinking about Jesus Christ, as we always are, but we are thinking about Thomas and his reaction to seeing the resurrected Lord and those moments of doubt, those moments of strong faith. And as we participate in the kingdom of Christ, we find ourselves in those moments all the time, but we know about what we know about Christ is he never leaves us, even in our hardest moments. And in this community, there's a lot of people going through hard moments right now, and so we have this blessed opportunity through our giving to help make their lives just a little bit better and to feel loved just a little bit more. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, what a blessing it is to be part of your kingdom here in West Little Rock. What a joy it is to answer your call in our lives to love you and love our neighbors. Help us during this time of offering to meet the call, knowing and trusting that you put our resources to work for the good of your kingdom. We thank you for all that you are. We thank you for our Savior Jesus Christ, and we thank you for allowing us to be what you call us to be here. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
for our scripture lesson this morning.
This morning is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, and I'll be reading verses 19 through 31. Since it was evening that day, the first of the week, and the doors where the disciples were having been shut for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the middle and said to them, "Peace to you all." And saying this, he showed his hands and feet to them. Then the disciples rejoiced seeing the Lord. Then he told them again, "Peace to you all, just as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you all." And this being said, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you all forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you all hold on to the sins of any, they have been held." But Thomas, one of the 12, the one called Twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So then the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he told them, "Not unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, will I believe." So after 8 days, the disciples were inside again and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in the middle and said, "Peace to you all." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach out your finger here and see my hands, and reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, be faithful." Thomas answered and told him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those not having seen, but having believed." Then Jesus did many and other signs before the disciples, which have not been written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and so that believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Happy Easter once again, and welcome to all of you. I'm glad you're here in the sanctuary today, and a very warm welcome to those of us who are worshiping online as well. If you're just now joining us online, I encourage you to scan the QR code to let us know you're here. You can also give and find out about upcoming events in the life of our church family. I do want to say how much I appreciate the staff and Brother Nick for carrying on in my absence. I've had a week for vacation, and so last Sunday was National Associate Pastor Sunday. That's what we affectionately call it. And Nick did that, carried on beautifully. And then this past week, I was at the 5-day Academy of Spiritual Formation, which is, there were folks from Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and we even had a few Texans, a handful of Texans there. But wonderful day for a spiritual retreat. And got back Friday, and I'll say just a brief story in just a minute about that. But I'm so thankful to be back with you today and to share God's word. Today, we're talking about Thomas. And I love Thomas. You know, you ever take one of those online questionnaires, like on Facebook? You know, which golden girl are you? How many of y'all are roses like me? I'm a rose. But so I did like one of those for which disciple are you at some point. Of course, I come up a Thomas. I am a Thomas. So I'm a gotta have proof sort of guy. And I always have been since I was a very little kid. And if you've ever had serious questions about the truth of Christianity or had a time of doubt in your life or are going through that now, you may be a Thomas too. And so let's pray together. God, we do thank you for being with us and for coming to us in the midst of our questions and doubts. And God, we pray that in these moments you will give us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. You know, some things are just hard to believe. Not too long ago, I heard about a judge in Yugoslavia, and he got in the bathtub and reached up to turn on the light, and he was electrocuted. So his wife comes in, hears this crash, finds him on the bathroom floor, calls the ambulance. The medical professionals pronounced him dead on the scene. And so according to local custom, they put his body in a room under a crypt in the town cemetery for 24 hours. Well, there was just one little problem. He was dazed, not deceased. And so he wakes up inside this crypt in the middle of the night, sees where he is, and runs over to tell the guard. Well, the guard took off running. The guard comes back and brings a friend, and they let the judge out. And of course, the first thing he wants to do is call his wife. And so he gets one of their phones, he calls her, and he says, "Darling, it's me." She screams and fainted. He goes to see his friends and his neighbors. They thought he was a ghost. So finally, he called a buddy who lived out of town and didn't know about his supposed demise, told him everything that had happened, and his friend called the family and got everything straightened out. Some things are just hard to believe. They certainly were for Thomas. Just like the judge's friends and family, the people who were closest to Jesus were the hardest ones to convince of his resurrection. Mary Magdalene thought that someone stole Jesus' body. Simon Peter and the beloved disciple had to run to the tomb to see for themselves. The rest of the disciples thought it was an old wives' tale until they saw Jesus with their own eyes. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't blame them. I mean, have you ever seen something raised from the dead? I got home Friday from that spiritual retreat, and it was so nice. Michelle met me, not at the door, but at the car, and I was so pleased to see her. It made me feel right at home, and all of a sudden she says, "Hey, come here, I got to show you something. You got to see this." Well, she takes me over to like the front door, and there, I don't know if it's a small tree or a really big shrub, but whatever that is next to our door, she points in there, and she points at this branch, and I look at the branch, and I see that the branch has eyes. And I look a little closer, and there was this tiny tree frog perfectly camouflaged in the branches of that tree shrub. And that reminded me that I tried to resurrect a frog once. This is a true story. It happened at the parsonage of Hunter United Methodist Church down in Southwest Little Rock. I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I want to be clear to our kids, this falls very much under the category, do not try this at home. Amen, parents? Do not try this at home. So when I was a kid, I loved frogs and tadpoles, just like most kids do, I suppose. And I caught this frog, and I took it home. And I tried to keep it in a bucket of water. I figured it'd stay alive in that, but it kept jumping out. And so I did the only rational thing a six-year-old could do. I put the frog in the doghouse. The dog died. Well, the frog died too. I didn't want that frog to die, but it did. And I'd heard about that story, you know, that story about Jesus in Sunday school. And so if Jesus came back from the dead, why not a frog? And I didn't have a tomb, and so I just left it in the doghouse and shut the door real tight so it was dark. Well, 3 days, an eternity for a six-year-old boy, I waited. On the third day, I go and I open the door, and whew, the sight and the smell. I went and got my dad and told him what I had done. And he looked up from whatever he was doing and said, "Hammett, never play with dead frogs." And then he went to the garage and grabbed his work gloves and a shovel, and he went outside with me. He said, "Come with me." And he dug a little hole. And as he dropped the frog in, he said, "Son, only God can raise the dead," and buried the frog. You see, resurrection is not a common occurrence. Resurrection defies everything in our human experience. And so that's why I cannot blame the disciples for not believing that Jesus rose from the dead, because, friends, I wouldn't have believed it either, especially having seen the way he died. When Jesus first appeared to the disciples, Thomas was absent. And you know, when we experience tragedy and trauma, some of us find comfort by being with others in the midst of our pain. But that's hard for some of us. Some of us For some of us, the people around us simply remind us of our pain. And that's what Thomas was dealing with. But here's the thing. By isolating himself from his friends, Thomas missed Jesus. And that happens so often today. We separate ourselves from other Christians because we are hurting. Or we separate ourselves from other Christians because they have hurt us. Or we look into the church and we see too much hypocrisy and self-righteousness and plain old hatred. Or we'll just let the self-righteous, hateful hypocrites have it. Or perhaps we start thinking for ourselves and our faith changes. We discover that the Bible did not fall out of heaven in the King James English red letter version. We discover that the process of transmitting those ancient writings was very, very messy. To the degree that most fundamentalist churches, not like the United Methodist Church, most fundamentalist churches now will say that they were infallible and inspired in their original writing. But you have to read the fine print because guess what, friends? We have zero original writings. And the copies that we have were passed down from generation to generation, handwritten from someone reading aloud. The transmission process was very messy when it comes to this book. Or perhaps we read in a Sunday school lesson one day that the authorship of a particular gospel or letter is questionable. We begin to think for ourselves and we feel like the church won't allow our questions. And so we simply stay away. But Thomas misses Christ when he isolates himself from the fellowship of his Christian brothers and sisters. When he does come back, the others tell him that they saw Jesus, and he can't believe it. He says, "Not unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side will I believe." I mean, for one thing, gross. For another thing, that's just pretty shocking, isn't it? And unfortunately, sadly, tragically, Thomas is best known for saying that. But friends, that is not the only thing Thomas ever said. You might remember old Lazarus. When Lazarus was sick, Jesus told his disciples that they were going to go back to Judea to check on him. The 11 other disciples thought Jesus had lost his mind. They say to Jesus, "Listen, don't you remember the last time that we were down there? The Pharisees were trying to kill you and you want to go back there?" You know what Thomas said? "Let's go to Judea to die with him." Those are not the words of a faithless coward, amen? Or you might remember that at the Last Supper, Jesus starts telling the disciples what to do after he dies. You've heard these words before. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God and have faith in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it weren't so, would I tell you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be." And then Jesus says, "And you know where I'm going." Now, on this side of the resurrection, that makes a lot of sense. Jesus is going on ahead of them to prepare a place in God's house in heaven. But the disciples, as much as they had been told, really had no idea, no clue about what was about to happen. And it is at that moment that Thomas asks the question. He says, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? I don't know if you've ever been in class before, but it takes a lot of courage to tell your teacher that you don't understand something. It takes a lot of courage to tell your boss that you don't understand something. But that is when Jesus says those wonderful, often abused words, and we're going to look at these next week. He says, I'm the way and the truth and the life, Thomas. No one comes to the Father if not through me. Jesus says, you know me? You know me. You can find the way to me. You see, you cannot measure someone's faith by their most frail moment. As Nick said earlier, all of us have moments of doubt, and we cannot judge others for theirs. Because you see, Thomas is one of us. We need proof. We live in a postmodern, scientific, rationalistic age. It's hard to believe anything beyond what we can experience and prove. We have to see it. We have to dissect it. We have to explain it scientifically and mathematically in order to believe it. But here's the thing. Thomas simply wanted what the other disciples had. He wanted an encounter with the risen Christ himself. It wasn't good enough for him to be told the good news. He had to experience it. And the good news of this story is that Jesus was more than happy to indulge him. The very next Sunday, when they were together in that locked room, Jesus came once again. And he says, peace be with you all. And then Jesus does one of the coolest things I can think of in the entire Gospels. He didn't scold Thomas about his lack of faith. Jesus looks at Thomas with the eyes of love and understanding. And he says, Thomas, here you go. You want to put your finger here or here? You want to reach your hand in my side where they stab me with the spear? Go ahead, you do it. Don't be faithless, be faithful. You see, Jesus does not mind Thomas's doubt. He says to him, you do what you need to do. You need to check me out, see if this is real. Okay, here I am. You see if this is real. Put your finger here, put your hand here, do whatever you need to do to be faithful. Now here's the thing, contrary to all those paintings, like Caravaggio's painting of this is awful. It's just, ugh. John never says that Thomas did that. Instead, Thomas speaks some of the most daring words in the entire Bible. Thomas looks at Jesus with the nail marks in his hands and the spear wound in his side, and he says, my Lord and my God. Now, in all of the Gospels, Thomas is the only person who ever dares to call Jesus his Lord and his God. And Jesus looks at him and says, Thomas, you believe because you've seen me? Blessed are those who haven't seen but believe. Jesus is talking about us. Jesus is talking about us. So don't misunderstand him. He's not scolding Thomas. Just because Jesus blesses those of us who believe without seeing does not mean that he curses those of us who need to see it to believe it. Jesus invites those who need to investigate him to go ahead and do that and find the evidence. And if your faith doesn't need evidence, remember that that's a gift. It's a gift from God to you, not something that you can boast about. And that's very good news to Thomases like me. There are a lot of us these days. Over the last 300 years, reason and faith have become more and more polarized. You've got atheists on one side, fundamentalists on the other. And some religious people are foolish enough to say, we don't need no stinking science. You either believe what the Bible says or you don't. And the hyper-rationalists say, well, you either believe the evidence or you believe in myths and fairy tales. And we've heard a lot between those two people over the last 3 years. And tragically, some good religious folk were foolish and did not believe the science. And that's why I'm glad to be a United Methodist Christian. As a United Methodist, I believe that faith and reason work together in our life. John Wesley himself said, irrational religion is false religion. He also said, to renounce reason is to renounce religion. That's why I believe that every United Methodist church should have a big sign on the door that says, brains allowed. Amen? Because United Methodists don't only allow questions, we embrace them. Because faith gives deeper meaning to our reason. And so when people have serious doubts and questions of faith, we don't exclude them. We embrace them and love them through it. That's what the United Methodist Church did for me. And I am so grateful. Larry Williams was my pastor. I was serving down in Crossett with him when I went through my most intense questions and doubts. But I stayed connected to the church through them. And First United Methodist Church of Crossett, Arkansas, gave me space to think and to question, even in public. And it was there that Christ came and said to me, all right, here you go, Hammett. See that I'm real. If you need to, put your finger here. Put your hand here. Do whatever you need to do to be a person of faith. And like Thomas, I declare Jesus is my Lord and my God. In the end, it was Thomas who convinced me of the resurrection. According to one tradition, Thomas traveled all the way to India after this encounter with Christ, spreading the gospel everywhere that he went. And because of his faith and commitment to Jesus Christ, in India, four soldiers took him up a hill and speared him to death. And I find it completely irrational that someone would die like that unless they had a real encounter with the living and resurrected Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I would love to have a faith like that. Christ is risen. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for coming to us in the midst of our doubt and disbelief and embracing us, offering yourself to us, even in the most intimate way of touching the wounds that were given to you in death. God, we pray for the faith of Thomas. Instill within us generous hearts to those who question and doubt. Give us generous hearts for those who do us harm. And give us generous hearts that we might be your living presence in the world, that the whole world may proclaim that you are our Lord and our God. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and the people of God said, amen. I am so tickled that Lennox Major Byers is going to come now, and his family will declare for him that they will raise him so that he knows that Jesus is his Lord and his God. Amen? And we're going to play a part in that too. We're going to promise to help him do that too. And so I'd like to invite the Byers family, as many of the Byers family is like big anyway, but y'all are welcome to come and meet us at the farm. All right, who needs a script?
Anybody?
You're going to stand right there. That's perfect. You are just in the right place. Let that pass then. I made plenty because I didn't know. Hey, Roger, how are you, man?
Doing well, thank you.
I'm glad to see you. Good morning. Hollis, would you like one? Of course. I made exactly enough, except for Nicole. Nicole, okay.
I can share.
And you got the mic. Brothers and sisters, through baptism, we become a part of God's family, the church. We join in God's great acts of salvation, and we receive new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price.
This morning we present Lennox Major Byers for holy baptism.
What page is this in the hymnal? Because I don't have it written down. And y'all are going to have some stuff to say in just a minute. Page 39-ish? 34? 34? Let's turn to 34. Thank you. And just while we pause for a second, don't forget that we added a vowel later on after the hymnal was published. And so we will say that we support the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and then we'll add and our witness to that as well. So on behalf of the whole church, I ask Joe and Meg, oh my gosh, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you raise Lennox in Christ's church so that by your teaching and example, he may learn to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reject sin and reaffirm your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you care for one another in the Christian faith and life and include Lennox now in your care? With God's help, we will share the good news and live by Christ's example. We will surround Lennox with a community of love and forgiveness so he may grow in his trust of God and become faithful in his service to others. We will pray for him so he may become a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to true life.
Now, friends, let us stand and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
You may be seated. Thanks over the water. May God be with us as we pray. Eternal God, we remember when there was nothing but chaos and confusion, your Spirit moved over the waters of the deep and brought light from the darkness. You saved Noah's family from the flood and put the rainbow in the sky to remind us of your love. You led the Israelites to freedom through the Red Sea. When the time was right, you sent Jesus in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John in the waters of the Jordan River, and he calls his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to share in his mission to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit now, and bless this gift of water and he who receives it. Wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, so that by dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory, and we will give you the glory and honor and praise. And the people of God said, Amen. Lennox, I invite you to come here, and Nick, you and I can leave. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Let's have you just go right there. All right? Lennox Major, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, Amen. Now, if you'd like to lay hands on Lennox for this next part, you may. And go ahead and lay hands on each other anyway. You can. Lennox, may the Holy Spirit work within you so that being born through water and the Spirit, you may always be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Let's join together. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit has made you a part of God's new creation, and now you share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are one in Christ Jesus, and we welcome you now as a member of Christ's family. Members of God's family, I ask you to love and care for Lennox. Do everything in your power to help his faith grow, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. Lennox, we thank God for all God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members in the body of Christ and this church family, we renew our vows to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, so that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Lennox, the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may always live in grace and peace. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. I told Lennox that I wasn't going to pick him up and carry him down the aisle. He's a little big for that. But Lennox, this is your church family. And I hope that you will actually, see, I was baptized when I was just a little over a month old. And so I don't really remember that. But you will remember in just a few years when you go through confirmation the vows that your mom and dad made on your behalf today, and you'll have an opportunity at that point to make them your own and to become a professing Christian at that time. And I'll be praying for you as you discern that and as you grow in Christian love and faith over the next few years. I believe Nicole has a gift. Because it says it here on the notes. Thank you so much. If you can return to your seats, and let's give Lennox a sign of our welcome. All right. Uh-oh. If you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ and you'd like to do that, I'd love to meet with you about that. My email address is there on your screen if you're watching it at home, or it's also on the back of your bulletin. You can get in touch with Nick or me, and we would be glad to talk with you about that. Or if you're already a professing Christian, you'd like to become a part of Asbury's church family, you're welcome to do that as well. Even those who are worshiping online, you're welcome to do that. Just shoot me an email, and we can make that happen. But let's stand now as we sing our hymn of commitment, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, number 420. I'm so glad that you worshiped at Asbury this morning, and thankful for all of you. Be sure that to remember that this afternoon, a group of us will be going to Stone Soup over at Quapaw Quarter. You're going to meet over there at 1 o'clock. Is that right, Nick? 1:30 this afternoon at Quapaw Quarter. And then Brother Nick will be leading. If you're a newcomer to Asbury and you'd like to know more about the ministries of our church family and how you can become a part of that, Brother Nick is going to be offering a starting point class next Sunday during the Sunday school hour. That's at 10 a.m. And you'll have to ask Brother Nick how to get there, but it's kind of down in the innards of the church. If you've never been there before, it's in the large conference room, and you might need some breadcrumbs, and I don't know. Just follow him, and you'll get there. But that will be next Sunday at 10 a.m. And then Senior Sunday is coming up on May the 7th as we celebrate the accomplishments of our graduating seniors this year. That evening, we also have a taco night and taco trivia night. I want to say Tuesday, but it's not on Tuesday. And do trivia.
Help getting to Colorado this summer and some things like that. And so that's what the fundraiser will be for, and it'll be a fun night. So just come out 5 to 7 and just enjoy being with your Asbury family. And yeah, it'll be good. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm excited about it too. Yep. If you are a first-time guest today or a recent-time guest today, we do want to encourage you to pick up a loaf of bread and take that home with you as a token of our appreciation. Dr. Vicki Logan is back in the back, and she'll be glad to hand that to you as we depart. Next Sunday, as I mentioned in the sermon, I'll be talking about that interaction between Thomas and Jesus, where Jesus says to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And we'll talk about how that's so abused and what that really, really means in Jesus' intention. So I want to encourage you to come back for that next Sunday. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.
So glad that we're so glad that you joined us today. If this service has blessed you, I encourage you to share it with someone else. You can do that by sharing it on your Facebook page, or you can text or email the link. If this was your first time to worship with us, there are a couple of ways that you may follow up. Be sure to check out our website at the link below. Click on the visitor information button near the top of the home page. There you can fill out an online connect card to help us to get to know you a little bit better. You may also sign up for our email list and find out how to join Asbury there. You may also connect with us by following us on Facebook and by subscribing to our YouTube page. Whoever you are and wherever you are always welcome at Asbury. If you live in Central Arkansas, we'd love to meet you in person. You can find us at 1700 Napa Valley Drive in West Little Rock. If you have any questions or want to visit about joining our church family, email me at the link below. I look forward to seeing you at Asbury.